Welcome to the Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this July the 19th on the West Coast, now July the 20th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and we're sure you're going to find tonight's show very interesting and informative. Well, with Planet X, Comet Elenine, and now two 200-mile-wide spacecraft due here to invade the Earth in November, we still have this saga of the bogus certificate of live birth going on. And Miss Loretta Fuddy has been instructed. This seems like the second time within a couple of months. To produce some documentation in that regard. And this is what the people in Hawaii have to say about the certificate of live birth controversy.
Away from the shore, and our boat sinks slowly in the west, we approach the island of Lulu, spelled backwards,
Ul-ul.
Ah, in the distance we hear Spike Jones and his wacky wackakians.
That's the response from Hawaii. For further commentary, I'm going to bring tonight's two guests on board. First one hosts a very popular website. It's a repository of research in just about any topic you can think of, but all dealing with the truth. The website is called educate-yourself.org. And the second guest actually publish it or has his essays published on the same website. And my two guests tonight are, webmaster, Mr. Ken Adachi, and fellow essayist and journalist and investigator and metaphysician, Zora Nova Star Livingstone. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. Glad
Aloha.
To be
back. wouldn't it be nice if we got even a response like that, that we heard from Spike Jones? It makes more sense than anything we've heard so far.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Yes.
It does. You agree. Okay. Case closed. Now I'm still looking for some Kenyan music, but can't seem to find any. How are you both doing tonight?
Good. Thank you.
Doing well.
I had a pun come to mind when you were asking about Kenyan music. You had Moo Moo music, and now you need Mau Mau music.
Yeah. Well, I have to work on that. Okay. Is there anything like Ode to Idi Amin around? Or no?
I don't think so. I can't remember.
Well, maybe we can write something like that. Why not? We've been covering a lot of issues. I mentioned the new scare tactic, and that's that there's supposed to be 200-mile-wide motherships coming to attack planet Earth in November. I don't know if you heard that one, but that somebody would even take the time to put up a website to post that is crazy. It's just getting insane what's out there.
Yeah, everything's I would, version. Yeah. I would expect that to accelerate, Don. I think we've all known for a while now that 2011 and 2012 are big production years for the Illuminati, and I think they're going to ramp up a lot of psyops in order to, as you correctly said, frighten people. Scare people. To have us focus on everything but the reality that is actually taking place around us, and that's what we should bear in mind. We have said on previous shows that now it's clear to many people. Not enough people, but I hope many people now can see that. All of these scare ops were intentionally designed to pigeonhole people into certain belief structures so that you would cooperate with the agenda, which is essentially the dismantling of the race. There's more going on than just the desire to create a one-world government. There's this a parallel agenda to reduce the world's population by very dramatic numbers. I've been writing about that since 1995, and of course many others as well. So there's parallel agendas going on, but the manipulators are hoping to greatly reduce the world population, and we're going to have a two-tiered structure in which you have a royalty above, let's say a royalty class above, and a worker class below. It's essentially it will if this were to work out for the Illuminati, they would have essentially a return to a feudalistic lifestyle. That's basically what it's going to boil down to, but. With the advances that the secret advances in secret technology of mind control, et cetera, if we allow this scenario to go to fruition, we will have an utterly robotized society. I continue to get emails from people who are being victimized by this high technology that I call psychotronics. I think it's the most accurate way to label it. And more people are falling victim to this. in which a person's thoughts and bodily movements and bodily sensations are being manipulated and controlled by others. They are having events such as, let's say, a sound inserted into what seems like the inside of their head, or sometimes it seems to be inside their ears, and it's being stimulated electronically in order to harass that individual and to cause them this pain. I got an email from a lady in Hong Kong about a week ago. I haven't put up the story yet, but it's truly outrageous what she's suffering. She's a woman who apparently came upon this psychotronic torture harassment story some years ago, and I believe set about complaining about it. She complained to the U.S. government. She wrote to the president. She wrote to, and you know, she's a citizen of Hong Kong, and because she made herself known to these offices, she herself became a victim of psychotronic attack. So her words can be manipulated by these individuals. They can make her say things that she has no volition to say herself. They insert thoughts, they insert dreamscapes, they insert any number of images and patterns of behavior into her. They cause her body to do things which it itself naturally would not do, causing her illness, discomfort, and it's a terrifying situation that people like that, who have really done nothing to deserve this sort of treatment, but because they made themselves known, or they, this lady mentioned there was a woman, a Louisiana social worker by the name of Valerie Wolf, who died, I think, in 2002 or 2003. She had clients, apparently, that were telling her about this psychotronic assault events in the late 80s and early 90s, I believe. And she got so many clients that she began to write about it. She began to talk about this at conferences and so forth. And that culminated in a congressional hearing that she attended along with some individuals who were victimized by these things, in which she was saying that the government intelligence agency, the CIA especially, was victimizing people through these programs, mind control, MK Ultra, etc. And she thought she was doing the right thing. She thought by bringing it to the attention of Congress people, committee people, that something would be done to sincerely investigate and stop this phenomena. She found out what most whistleblowers of this phenomena find out, is that by going to the government, going to government agencies, FBI or whatever, is going to essentially cause you to have far greater problems than you had before you went to see them. I've received many emails from people who began the story by telling me, well, I went to the FBI and I told them, yada, yada, I saw this this problem, that problem. I wanted to make them aware of it, and they become victimized by psychotronics. So I'm very concerned that this this enslavement, if you will continue and escalate in the coming years, leading to, well, what will be a completely robotized society. So more people need to wake up to the reality of psychotronic electronic harassment, assault, and torture. I have some articles on my mind control page discussing this. There's many forums that exist on the internet that the victims themselves are telling their story. So few people want to know about this. I had a phone call from a person who's involved in TB production, and they wanted to do something about the whole phenomena of cell phone towers and other related health issues to do with microwave transmissions, et cetera. And I was discussing different aspects of this game, and I mentioned the victims of psychotronics. The woman never heard of this. This was completely new to her. And I believe the vast, vast bulk of the public has no idea that this phenomena exists, and that unless we do something to stop the perpetrators who are doing this, I'm afraid it's going to get worse. It's truly what the what serfs suffered, the slavery that they suffered during the Middle Ages, is a piece of cake compared to the potential slavery that we might experience in the years, in decades to come, if this psychotronic nightmare isn't properly exposed and stopped. I think much more could be done by people who have some ability in particularly ether physics to create systems and devices which can essentially either shield or shunt this energy so it doesn't penetrate the targeted individual. We're not doing enough in this area. I'm reasonably certain that the technology being used was originally information that was discovered by Tesla, and I believe that is the information he discovered, particularly this type of energy that he called radiant energy. When you study Tesla's writings and his work, what he describes of the capability of the system seems to match what I hear from victims. I don't know this for a fact, but I have a strong feeling that they're using radiant energy type technology to cause these psychotronic effects on victims.
Mm-hmm. You and I are both familiar with a few victims that are complaining about the harassment that they're going through, and it's quite off the charts what they're experiencing. And I was invited some months ago to listen to a conference call where these victims got together and shared their stories, and subsequently they all submitted a statement in either their name or they signed something anonymously to add to this petition that was going to go to Congress. And I got to speak for all of a minute or so, and I asked why they weren't suing the CIA. Why go to Congress? This was supposedly brought out many years ago in front of the Congress, and nothing was done about it. Why don't you file a lawsuit against the CIA? That's one group here domestically that's involved in this. And I was basically told, thank you, we're not interested in what you have to say in that regard. And it became very clear to me that this was just controlled opposition. All it was a data mining escapade so that they get the names of those that were speaking out against it, fully knowing who the victims were. Anyway, you see.
It seems to me the most intelligent way to try to do something about this is not necessarily to turn to the government or government officials or government agencies. This is what victims have attempted to do mm-hmm. from the time this phenomenon first started to show up. I know Kathy O'Brien talked about this in her book, Transformation, which I think she published in 1995. Bryce Taylor talked about it in her book in 1999. So victims have been talking about it for about approximately two decades. I'm going to guesstimate it, both the 90s and 2000 to this year. There's been plenty of victims that have talked about this. I get some email from a guy who was victimized when he was I think it was in Chicago. He was arrested for some minor offense, and he was kept in a local jail there for 3 days or so, and he was injected with something that put a microchip on in him, and he started to get these voices and so forth afterwards. And he talks very eloquently, actually. He sent me a number of letters over the years about his, let's say, insights that he's gathered since being victimized by this. I think the wisest thing to do is for the ordinary citizen to become aware of this. There's articles on the internet. I have some on my mind control page. If you do a search under electronic harassment, electronic stalking, electronic torture, or psychotronics, you'll definitely come up with many websites that talk about it, forums that discuss it. It's necessary just to become knowledgeable in the depth of this problem. And second, individuals, I think the courts are an excellent way to punch back. I've always said that. Simply turning to government officials is not going to accomplish anything. It very often will target you. So I don't recommend doing that. I recommend organizing privately among ordinary citizens, concerned groups, etc. But definitely look into the legal angle. It seems to me that with all the betrayal we're suffering, all the individuals we have in Congress who are essentially working on behalf of the New World Order to dissolve the United States, I think the most effective tool, of course, pushing them out of office isn't a bad idea. But the reality is that every election we get this Republican-Democrat dichotomy story, conservative, liberal, yada, yada, yada. And a politician says anything, as anyone could plainly see with Obama. Whatever the electorate is in the mood to hear, that's what the politician will say. And after he gets in the office, he'll do precisely whatever the Illuminati schemers that he's working with, who really put him in office, want him to do. So the public needs to recognize this and stop putting any faith, hope, or trust in any government official or any agency. The degree of corruption now and takeover, if you will, is far too gone. Not to say that the day couldn't come in which less corrupt officials could be placed in positions of power in the government. I've always hoped that's going to happen, but frankly, change has to come on a grassroots level, and using the court system to bring lawsuits is the most effective tool of all. Mm-hmm. Here we have one woman, whether you agree with her thesis of where, you know, Barry Sotaro was born or not, at least we have one woman who's trying to do what Congress people should do, what the Democrat Party should have done before this man was even put on the ballot to be president. They should have vetted him and guaranteed to themselves and the public that he was eligible to be president. They didn't do that at all because they're not interested in being representative of the people. They're interested in aggrandizing power and wealth and perks while they're in office, ripping off the American taxpayer. So they have this, you know, incredible pension to retire on as they sell us out, as they sell the American people out, as they betray our constitutional interest in the interest of helping Big Brother bring in this one world government. So it's important for the public to stop with the games, Republican, Democrat. It's a waste of time. Only grassroots efforts in which you can essentially try to strategize as a way to get out from under the agenda. The agenda is, first, large-scale population reduction. How do you get out from under that? Well, you don't help them shorten your life. You don't get vaccinations. That's pretty dumb. And here in California, Jerry Brown just signed a bill which gave school children who haven't yet got their whooping cough vaccine 30 more days to get their mandatory vaccine. So they're giving them a break, don't you know? Well, I got news for the people of California, and I feel so bad for parents here who have to send their kids to school in California. Vaccines are not proven. Far from it. Vaccines are experimental. There is no, let's say, indemnity. If your child is damaged in any way from vaccine, you can't sue anybody. I'm sorry. The vaccine makers have already got the whole thing buttoned up. Mm-hmm. Now, here they are passing a mandatory law. Children must get vaccinated. It doesn't matter what they're, you know, if it's whooping cough today, it'll be bird swine flu next week. It's completely a violation of the Constitution to force a vaccination upon a child here.
They cannot force anyone to take a vaccination against
them. Well, that's what they're reporting on the news, though, see?
Yeah,
that's
I know.
What they're telling parents on the news, and some group who has the money, the power, the technical expertise needs to file a lawsuit against Governor Jerry Brown in the state of California and the health department, whoever it is that's fronting this, and stop them dead in their tracks. Because just me talking about it is not going to stop them.
And the vaccine manufacturer, you know.
As I told you, they've already passed, was it 2005? I'm trying to remember the year. They've already passed this legislation that you cannot sue a manufacturer of a vaccine for damages no matter what happens to your kid. If your kid expires right then and there when they gave him his whooping cough shot, you can't do a thing about it as far as a lawsuit goes.
Well, you know, there's some interesting statistics if you're into numbers at all. And it's maybe 5 years ago, they would say that there were 1 in 10,000 kids were diagnosed as autistic due to a vaccination that they received at some point prior to the discovery of the autism. And that number a couple of years ago was 1 in 64. Today it's about 1 in 8.
Yes.
Okay. That's eightfold of what it was just a year and a half, 2 years ago. Eightfold.
You're absolutely right, Don. Anyone who listens, particularly to AM radio, whenever the topic of vaccination and autism comes up, you will hear every AM talk radio host poo-poo the notion that autism and vaccinations are linked. A few years ago, I think it was, there was some woman, celebrity, who helped, let's say, bring national recognition to the notion of vaccines are related to autism. And then was it Andrew Wakefield who also a few years ago, because they just went, this is, I believe, a British doctor, they just went after this guy with both barrels in the last.
The late Andrew Wakefield, I think it is, isn't it?
Oh, he's still alive.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I think he's alive, but they, you know, they really went after him with both barrels in the media in the past few years. And, you know, the British government and he's being censored and, you know, defrocked and muzzled and you name it. You know, they want to make an example of this man. But there is no doubt about it. So please, parents, do not buy the unending regurgitated lie you'll hear on at least the radio, perhaps TV. I don't listen to, you know, broadcast TV anymore, so I don't know what's being said, but please do not buy into the lie. There is a definite, sure link between the damage, the multiple damages that vaccines, and particularly the modern vaccines, are a horror compared to the vaccines that were, you know, given back, you know, in the 50s and 60s. What we have today is so dark, you know, it's so contaminated. There's so much secret stuff in these vaccines, microchips, nanobots, you name it. the last thing you want to do is let anyone stick a needle in you or breathe in a, you know, one of these inhaled vaccines, et cetera. And I hope someone organizes here in California to bring a lawsuit to put a kibosh on this latest thing, because once one state passes this law without being challenged, Massachusetts will be next. I mean, it's kind of the leftist liberal states that will go down this line first. So I hope people wake up to this. And
it sounds like blackmail. I mean, you don't get the vaccine, your child doesn't go to school?
That's exactly what you're saying.
Into the system?
Reporting on the news for the last week or so. I haven't written about it because I've been too busy trying to attend to other work. I haven't been able to put much up on my website because I'm trying to catch up on back work. But
let's give ZS a chance. He's been waiting so patiently in the background.
A vaccine for whooping cough is a bacteria, and all the past bacterial vaccinations have been just full of side effects, genuine failure. So whether they got a new super duper or poisoning system, or what is it? I have not been watching TV as well for over 2 years, and so this is all news to me as far as California. But I remember 30 years ago in Alberta, they decided to give vaccinations a more primitive vaccination to all the native tribes of that province. And they had right after the vaccination, they had the biggest uprise in whooping cough they've ever seen. they created an epidemic, and through the native population, of course, the population, which is all usually in homes which are not properly ventilated or crowded into three or four into one room, and the disease spread like wildfire.
Now, especially, the whooping cough is coming over the borders, is it not, Ken?
Thank you, Don. That is the case. That's another...
These are the illegals coming into the country.
Exactly. These are not... these cases are individuals, illegal aliens, the children, young children of illegal aliens. That is the reality. Of course, they'll never say that when they report these, the 1,800 cases of whooping cough reported the last year in Southern California. Yeah, who's getting the whooping cough? It's these individuals coming up from Mexico, Central America, et cetera, who are largely the people, the children who are infected. They're not whooping cough is for if you put aside the illegal alien population has not been a problem in the United States for a long time. I mean, perhaps the 40s or 50s was the last time we had a substantial, or a meaningful surge of whooping cough. But easily for 60 years or more, there has been no significant outbreak of whooping cough in the United States. But as you say, though, it's part of the population of illegals.
It's possible the World Health Organization caused the whooping cough condition in Mexico before they went across the border.
That's very possible. We're very suspicious.
Obviously, they're not catching it here where it doesn't exist. They brought it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like. Remember the was it March of 2009, the so-called swine phenomenon began in Mexico, and was it Mexico City? I'm not sure. It was just within a few days of Obama's visit. That was sort of the beginning takeoff of that phony swine flu ruse. And as Zias pointed out during the Haiti situation following the engineered quake there, the outbreak of
cholera.
cholera was imported. It was never a native disease to that island. It was brought in there, and the cover story in the news was that it was, you know, accidentally carried in by some UN troops. Well, that's not what ZS got on it. He got an intentional act of sabotage, probably contaminating water sources. ZS, was that?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, that's usually how it's transmitted.
It was also a strain that was a problem in Southeast Asia and had never been seen in Haiti before. In fact, the Haitians had never experienced cholera in the 200 years of that nation.
Right.
So it was just totally new.
Now, not to jump around from topic to topic, but I wanted some input from ZS in regard to some of this psychotronic harassment. It goes beyond just the electronic aspect of it. And ZS, do you care to talk about that? And I'm speaking more about those that work in teams that are trained to target certain individuals.
Well, you're talking about essentially black magic. It's the same thing when you come down to it. They've been doing for thousands of years, and a person can put a hex on somebody, and it's the same psychic interference as the electronics is doing. They have electronics at the specific frequencies that affect people's nervous system and the cellular matter as the thought projection from somebody who doesn't like you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same effect, different methodology, but that has always been the nature of mind control on the planet. Blame, shame, and drain. And now they've got the frequencies of course, I think it's on your website Ken, that in the 1970s at Davis Campus, University of Southern California, a professor who had been working on those frequencies was doing a lecture hall classroom, and he had a small device in the middle of the room or in the middle of the floor in front of them, and was saying, okay, we know the frequencies for anger, we know the frequencies for pain, we know the frequencies for fear, and we've known them for decades now, maybe even back to Tesla, in the radio frequencies, and so the one side of the room was being projected by the small device in the front of the room, and they were in tears. And the people on the other side of the room were wondering, why are those people crying? And then the professor turned the device towards the other side of the room, and they were all in tears. And the people who had been crying stopped crying, or were mopping up their tears. And they had experienced the grief, just deep, deep grief. They knew the frequency of deep, deep grief. And it's somewhere in the Schumann frequencies, 7 or 8 cycles per second. And there's also others in the low AM frequencies, which affect health. And that those are frequencies that Dr. Halder Regier Clark had discovered or worked out with her synchrometer. And so so secret technology has been developed to affect people negatively, and they've probably been testing it for decades and decades. I believe that road rage, which would suddenly appear and then disappear like it never happened, was actually a van parked on a roadways, a major intersection, and somebody with the van was projecting anger frequencies at drivers, causing accidents and then continuing beaming him with anger to go, causing him to go in rage and attack other drivers who were also involved in the accident. And quite often the people who were involved in those situations had never shown that sort of anger problem before in their life. And I believe that the radio or those radio frequencies to do with fear, a wide range of frequencies, have been broadcast on a low amplitude for decades now. And it's part going through radio and TV, and through cell phone towers, through it can be radar dishes and weather radar, it can broadcast on those same frequencies. And extra low frequencies which are in the Schumann range, also broadcast from Wisconsin, would cause on some frequencies discomfort for certain people. And of course, we were talking about psychotronics earlier, and they could hit somebody who's operating psychotronic and could aim or project radionically from any place in the United States or target a person based on their name or based on a piece of tissue from their body, hair, just like voodoo, could cause people to go through a wide range of negative feelings, self-recrimination, ringing in the ears, aches in throughout the body, as they throw the whole range of problems at that individual person who they don't like or are told to target. And you had a long article on your site, Ken, about somebody who had been attacked from going from one nation to another nation to another nation, I think from South America to the United States, in order to try to get out of the attack of, was it Argentina or Mexico?
Yes, that Nicholas, I'm trying to remember the last name. Is it Kilpatrick? Nicholas? Nicholas was his first name. Yeah, he's on my mind control page, and he sent me a couple rather lengthy articles about how it started for him. He was working for the government in sort of a, let's see, I'm trying to remember. He wasn't with the military. He was, well, he might have started with the military, but eventually he wound up in some civilian position, probably embassy type work, some sort of foreign service work, something kind of a perfunctory position. He might have been an accountant, just a very ordinary job, but somehow, I can't remember the details. This story is there. He got himself targeted, and once they implanted him, or however they got him, it's his life has been a very difficult time. And what I admire about the folks who try to cope with this is that very often they despite the attempts of the manipulators to befuddle their thought processes, to cause them to despair. It seems that in many cases there is no logical explanation or logical reason why these people are being mistreated. It's they wonder why. Who am I a threat to? Why me? And this comes up again and again in the inanity of these manipulators who talk to these victims in their head and have these dialogues and conversation. It's just seemed to be, in many cases, torture just for the sake of torture. I'm assuming there's somehow beta test for a larger worldwide population enslavement with this thing, but many times the victims just can't assign any logical justification for going through this. And then this.
Well, in some cases, if I may say so, Ken, it's actually that they're trying to drive the person out of maybe a house, off of a piece of property that someone has an interest in acquiring.
Yes, we're familiar with one specific case. So at least there we can sort of see some logic behind the. But in other cases, the victims just can't figure it out because they're not a threat. The sort of work they do, the positions they've held, they don't know anything that's going to. There's nothing to whistleblow because they're not privy to these things. It's just they were at the wrong place at the wrong time. They get targeted, and once they're targeted, they're treated like lab rats.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like in a hamster in a lab cage or something.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and it's such an outrage to the meaning of human life. It's such an outrage. Had this technology been used for legitimate positive purposes, as Tesla has talked about during his heydays at the turn of the century when he was still filled with optimism about America and before he found out the reality of the sort of people the J.P. Morgans of the world really are. Well, he's still an optimist. He was so full of enthusiasm about the beneficial uses to which this radiant energy could be used. And he even saw that besides all the physical beneficial physical side byproducts, if you will, of radiant energy, production of electricity was just one. That was a minor part of it. They found that by changing the frequency of this this pulsed signal that they were using to create what Tesla referred to as this etheric, let's say, upwelling of this energy from the earth. He sort of referred to it as a flow, like a fountain. It's mm-hmm. upwelling. They found that he was able to miniaturize the equipment, and he could direct this energy to in any direction he wished. But him and his workers noticed all kinds of unusual effects. They could produce heat. They could produce coal. It's this technology had a germicidal effect, so that these his workers and Tesla, et cetera, would being exposed to this energy, if they were coming down with something, they would get over it. It seemed to really be able to knock down pathogens in the body. It could affect it once they changed the frequency. As the frequency went up, they sort of moved into a region in which their ability to perceive things was enhanced. There's a famous story about Tesla when he was out in Colorado Springs that he could see a train with people in the train that was virtually 10 miles away while he was under the influence of this radiant energy. Yet someone who was just hundreds of yards away from him could not be seen as clear. So somehow there was a projection, if you will, of or an expansion of what ordinary perception. And he even talked about consciousness expansion under the proper usage. When I think about how the dark side has captured this, all of Tesla's, documents, which were never revealed. The bulk of his truly his best work, et cetera, was taken by the FBI after he died, and it was made available to government scientists, but the public never got that. The papers that were sent on to his homeland and wound up in the museum there, it's good stuff, but it's not his best stuff. It's not the stuff that this technology that I'm referring to that they developed, that was never revealed to the public. But what wonderful things could have been achieved had we you know, had it been developed by people who were human beings, you know, who believed in growth, in life, in constructive activity, instead of these very darkest individuals, the least capable and the least proper individuals to be in charge of such technology. They own it completely. And what do they use it for? To victimize these people, make their life a living nightmare. It's just flabbergasting how such good could be used by these hidden technology, yet these Neanderthals on the dark side just use it for the most evil purposes. It just flabbergasts me how
some years ago there were complaints about what people would notice in a movie theater on the screen. For instance, you sit down in your seat and they would have a dancing soft drink and a dancing box of popcorn and candy, you know, sort of in a parade, marching across the screen. And what people didn't see with the songs that were being sung to these cartoonish figures dancing around were the subliminal messages that were flashing up on the screen. Just a short pulse of time, and things like buy this, eat this, you're hungry, you know, subliminal messages, basically.
Yes.
And it was supposedly outlawed. Now, do you think that Congress has this interest in the quality of your television reception that they would mandate? In the beginning, it was something like $8 billion for these converter boxes.
Yes.
So people could get digital television signals.
Yes.
And you have all the subcarriers on there as well. Now, people are listening to this interview tonight and this discussion we're having, and they're thinking, well, I'm glad they're not targeting me with these weapons. These sound pretty nasty. Yet they're quite capable, and they're probably doing that with digital television. They can do this with the light patterns, the pulsation of the lights, the pixels on the screen, in other words, have a hypnotic effect. They can certainly layer subliminal messages. And we know they do this in Disney movies. You can Google subliminal messages, The Lion King, and there are some videos out there that show the profane language that's used in these movies that were made for children.
You're very absolutely explicit. Right.
Okay.
You're absolutely right, Don. That was, let's say, the earlier stage of subliminal suggestion, the Disney movies, of course, implanted those. But I got to tell you, you just hit a home run on referring to the digital technology. If you remember, Truot put together a fabulous expose piece. I think it was about 3 years ago now. I know it was in December. Might have been December 2007, was it? Or 2008, I'm not sure. Anyway, he called it The Sound of Silence.
Yeah.
And you can find it if you do a search on my website. Anyway, within the body of that well-researched piece, he's talking about a technology developed by the military, the Army specifically, called Quad-S or 4S. Four S's, and frankly, I forget what the four S's stand for, but I just got an email 2 days ago, 3 days ago, by a fellow who's being victimized, and he mentioned the Quad S technology. I don't know how he knows it, but what he's been experiencing for about 10 years is he's getting a continuous sound within his ear that, let's say, the uninformed person would maybe label as tinnitus. It is not tinnitus. He assures me because he has this sound constantly, and obviously it can be maddening. It affects his sleep. But there was two occasions, he told me, over 10 years in which this equipment was briefly turned off and he had total silence. It obviously, to for him, it was like heaven. So he's trying to cope with this, and yet he's handling it very rationally, very calmly, et cetera. But he's being victimized by this technology. And here you are, you just happened to mention the digital technology. That's bringing it into your home. We mentioned 3 years ago, I think, when we talked about this, that all modern televisions, I'm talking about, you know, the plasma screens, the, you know, those big, huge, wide things, and beautiful high-definition pictures, they all have cameras within them that are looking at you, multiple cameras, not one, and they all have audio pickups in there. So whether your TV is turned on or off, you are broadcasting everything you say and do to the NSA. And the only way you can not have that is don't possess those televisions. And if you want to watch TV, if you have an older model TV with the old-fashioned tubes et cetera, you can probably be reasonably certain that there certainly aren't cameras in there, and there probably aren't audio devices and pickup devices if it's perhaps 15 or 20 years old. What I do, for instance, with a modern computer monitors, they have cameras in them, and they have audio pickup. If you want to not be broadcasting, you have to shield against that. Of course, you could unplug all the equipment. You can remove all power. That will probably kill the capabilities. But if you don't want to be plugging in your monitor, you know, have to rehook up your monitor every time. A simple thing to do if you don't want them seeing you is just drape an aluminum foil cover over the screen, because these cameras embedded in modern TVs, they've been with us for a while. I remember reading a story easily 4 years, 5 years ago, in which an individual went to visit a Japanese executive of a well-known electronic company in Japan. And when he went into his office, he saw that there was a heavy black cloth draped over his TV. And he was wondering, why would anyone do that? That guy knew that the technology was embedded in there, and he didn't want to have his business being, you know, videotaped for government, you know, computers. So
they put that in the converter boxes, too. So,
yes, they put that in the converter boxes, and a few people dissembled those boxes. I'm sure the YouTube videos are still there if you do a search. And voila, they open up the boxes. You can see the little pickup device right there. Anyone who's, you know, hearing this conversation, please know that you are being spied on within your home via the computer monitors, via modern television screens. Don't doubt it for a minute.
Also, telephones, even telephones back in the 50s, if you did a certain tone or a certain whistle while dialing the number, you could actually eavesdrop on that phone which you dialed. It wouldn't ring, but you'd hear everything happening in that room. That was a story in the 50s.
In the 50s. Right. Right.
And phone freaking came out of people being able to whistle at certain, or having electronic equipment which could create the certain tones which would open up telephone long-distance lines. Mm. Of course, that's really old technology compared to what now is happening now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, this data can be transmitted over satellite systems. You know, the cable companies who occasionally tout their service as being better than satellite don't inform you that they get their signals from satellite. They're just a middleman beefing up the price again. Not that satellite is all that inexpensive, but some people have it for a lot less money than what cable offers. And I mean, there's a whole new set of issues there. Look at the programming that's going on. They call it programming. They call it a TV program. It's right in your face what it is. You're being programmed. You're being told what to do. And the amount of pharmaceutical commercials is staggering. There's another sort of subliminal suggestion right there. Just the repetition of buy this, try this, talk to your doctor. You know, you wouldn't think of talking to your doctor other than somebody telling you constantly if you're watching the TV. And people just think that that's normal.
Don, you brought up another one. When I was still getting analog broadcast TV the last couple of years, I was really taken back by the quantity of commercials for pharmaceutical drugs. And what I would ask myself is, whenever they're advertising, you know, the over-the-counter drug for a sleeping pill, essentially, or for feminine this or feminine that, whatever they're trying to pitch, is the disclaimer at the end of the ad.
Mm-hmm.
They would essentially list every symptom, including death,
mm-hmm.
as a possible byproduct of this pill. And I would ask myself, who is with a mind would listen to that and even for a second consider taking that stuff when they're telling you there's a whole laundry list of, you know, difficulties of speech, difficulties in breathing, difficulties in this, death. My God. And all this for the glory of a sleeping. None of these pharmaceuticals can hold a candle next to nature-based substances, you know, such as herbs, for instance. If people listening to this don't know this, there is nothing that the pharmaceutical industry has that holds a candle to anything that a person who familiarizes themselves with herbs, with homeopathic compounds, with nature-based modalities, you simply don't need to buy anything that's being offered in a drugstore or a pharmacy as far as the pharmaceutical product end of it goes. I can remember when I was younger, I used to try to do, you know, I talk too fast. I tried to do everything too fast, and because I was just had that type of personality, I thought I could accomplish everything and do it in the shortest possible time. So for many years, I sort of kind of had this nickname of Speedo, and. But I was paying the price for it. I didn't realize it. Of course, you know, when you're coming out of high school, going into your 20s, and you know, you don't really know all these things. So I would follow the ordinary routine. If I was having stomach trouble, then you based on the commercials you heard, you took Maalox. It seemed to make sense. You're thinking, well, let's see, they're calling this. You know, acid stomach. So if you take a neutralizer, you take a base, an alkaline, it certainly made sense to me. It seems so logical, and that's the way they present it. But the body really doesn't work in that simplistic mechanical way that these ads always did and continue to this day try to paint the picture of. Mm-hmm. Now we know, for instance, rather than not having having too much acid, many times people who have trouble with indigestion is because they don't have enough acid. It's the inability to digest what they've, you know, eaten properly that is allowing the organisms in their stomach and in their intestinal tract, the bacteria, et cetera, to gobble the food which you haven't adequately digested, and in turn that is producing the gas, you know, the byproduct of the organisms working on that undigested food, that is causing you to belch and so forth. Now, you know, You've never seen a pharmaceutical ad that bought that up. They'd only paint this notion that you have too much stomach acid, therefore let's quell it with an alkaline substance.
Pepto-Bismol.
Yes, and those who do that only temporarily relieve the symptom from the moment for that moment, but the next day they have to take more. The problem's never resolved because the real problem is they're missing certain critical minerals. For instance, you need zinc, you need iodine, and this is not typically found in the American diet. So without that, you need B6. You need salt. You need sodium chloride if you want to make hydrochloric acid. So people on a low, sodium diet, thinking that's the right thing to do to control blood pressure, which also can be fixed by learning how the body works via nature, won't take enough salt. You need chloride to make hydrochloric acid. So they have low stomach acid. If you're a type A blood person, you genetically are predisposed to low stomach acid. So people have so I didn't know this until maybe I was in my mid-30s. And from the time I was, late teen up to that time, I had a lot of stomach trouble. But once, because of what I was reading in, alternative health magazines at the time, there was something called Prevention that I used to read back in that period, I started to find this information out. I didn't have a clue. And then when I started to take the correct minerals and take some digestive, enzymes to aid digestion, or you can take a type of hydrochloric acid substitute called betaine HCl, which you can obtain in any health food store, that will give you sufficient digestive power to properly digest your food. And then, voila, you certainly won't need the Pepto-Bismol because the phenomena, the problem has been resolved. You weren't digesting your food adequately. And then you notice you won't be belching and you won't be passing gas and so forth. It's quite easy once you understand how the body works, which is why I keep on encouraging people to study the books of Dr. Huldah Clark, because her treatment modalities are always low cost, easily available, but she explains how the body works, and it makes perfect sense. And once you understand it and follow her advice, you're going to feel much better. There's a book written by Peter D'Adamo maybe 15 years ago called Eat Right for Your Type. It's still available on Amazon. Everyone should get that book. There are four blood types, and you need to find out which foods are compatible with your blood types.
Yeah.
Once you start paying attention to the foods that are compatible with your blood type, you're going to feel much better. You're going to stop having post-meal problems of belching. If you're falling asleep after you're eating, a meal, you're having an allergic reaction to some portion of the food that you ate, because that food is not in your blood group. That's what sleeping is all about. After a meal, you're having an allergic reaction to the food. And of course, we don't know this. We're eating whatever we're used to eat or enjoy, etc. But having this knowledge of matching the food that you eat to your blood type, you're going to notice big improvements in a lot of areas. And it's real easy to do. Just study the book and learn what you should and should not be eating.
You mentioned some of the language that's used in drawing attention to the a particular product. Let's say it's something for a person that's suffering from depression, and they go through the litany of what they call side effects, which are really, they're not side effects. They're built into these drugs to cause further problems. And they'll mention suicide. If you have thoughts of suicide, call your doctor. There is another series of commercials by the legal firms, and it's usually some firm in another state, in another part of the country that has nothing to do with your area. They're just farming over the airwaves for potential clients. And they begin with, did you or a loved one die from mesothelioma mm-hmm. or a continued exposure to asbestos? And my first response is, well, not a loved one, but yeah, I died. I mean, are you going to be sitting there listening to it if you died? But they ask you that question.
Mm. What did you or a loved one? Yeah.
Yeah. If they start, did you or a loved one die from mesothelioma? Yeah. We can help you. I think you're a little bit late if I died or my loved one. You know, I mean, people do not listen to what is being said. You see, part of it is just the way they deliver it, the psychology behind it, because it's more programming. They get this official sounding voice, this guy with a low, deep voice, or some woman. This is the new one. They've got a cream that repairs exploded capillaries underneath your eyes that gives you rings under your eyes or dark spots all around your eyes. It's this miracle cream that you can put on your eyes, and it's better than surgery. Now, you've got to stop and ask yourself, if it's able to repair ruptured capillaries in your skin, what else is it doing when it gets into your, it's got to get into your bloodstream. What is it doing? People don't think about it. Or buy this vibrator. It's going to, you know, it's going to give you that windblown hair look. They actually, I mean, it's the most ridiculous commercial you've ever seen. This girl gets three vibrators at a party. I don't know if it's a wedding shower or what, but she goes home and she's telling her guy, remember the vibrator I was telling you about? We got three of them. And he goes, sweet. I mean, where are people's minds? You know, are they not thinking? Do they not have morals anymore? Are they that out of control that they can just allow somebody just to say something to them through a piece of glass and they just respond? You know, it's a sad situation, really. And yes. I hear the silence. It's deafening.
Yes, no, I'm hoping ZS can answer this.
Also, going back to stomach acid, this time when we have GMO products which are changing the nature of the chemistry of the food we're eating, you really want to have good stomach acids to chew those chemicals up in digestion or digest them so that you're not being affected by that contamination. The stomach acid can do a good job of undoing what GMOs could do. So maybe having betaine HCl is something that everybody should have, because Monsanto's even put Roundup Ready stuff into bluegrass, and so it's going to go that Roundup Ready or that bacterial gene which survives glycophosphates. Okay, Will. You just need to arm yourself, and when your first line of defense is your own digestive system.
I mean, you know, there's this pattern of just insanity ruling the business world, the corporate world. You know, I'm listening to all of this. I'm listening to you guys talk about acid reflux and food and herbs and the medicines and the airwaves, and everything is an assault on humanity. Everything is, there's no dignity in this. This is just about making money and wreaking havoc and chaos all over the planet. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Are people gonna...
Lipitor, the number one selling most profitable product, which all the pharmaceuticals company have a version of, is actually destroying livers or is to control cholesterol by controlling the production of cholesterol in the liver. And one of the what the liver is there to do is to create cholesterol, which right. is part of the digestive process going into the bile sac and then down to the bile duct into the top of the small intestine below the duodenum. And it allows the – if you eat something fatty, then the villi on the small intestine send signals to the through the bloodstream to the liver to produce cholesterol, and it produces 4 grams of cholesterol for every gram of fat you right. consumed
right.
in order to digest the food. And that right. also that cholesterol is being needed in the bloodstream and through the whole body as part of the nerve sheaths. And the building up of cholesterol in the bloodstream or on the arteries is actually a bandage the body creates in order to protect or to shield or to block off the heavy metals that have accumulated in the arteries. The body's been poisoned. Cholesterol is there to seal in the poison. And yes. so people are now taking Lipitor and coming down with a whole symphony, discordant symphony of side effects, including joint pain, weakening of the tendons, muscle weakness. A lot of people who take Lipitor immediately get shoulder pains, and they go to the doctor and they get more. They say, "Well, let's do something else," and they get another prescription for something else, and or a painkiller.
Which is now, this is another reason why they're putting so much sugar in foods, because sugar combined with certain starches gets stored as fat.
Yeah.
And again, that throws the liver out of whack.
Well,
and then it leads to diabetes and other issues.
Right. Well, part of that carbohydrate going to becoming a fat is actually the high fructose corn syrup.
Yes.
situation.
Yeah.
Fructose is nature's way of the body accumulating or getting fat from, well, bears eat berries and accumulate fat, and berries are full of fruit sugars, fructose. Mm-hmm. And it's been a mystery for many, many years as where in the environment do bears get their winter fat for hibernation, and it is eating the berries. And now we're getting cola drinks and soft drinks with elevated levels of fructose, which is sweeter than sucrose or dextrose. That is converted by the liver into fat. So there's going back to the liver there on that one. But,
yeah, I don't know if I mentioned it to you two gentlemen on a past show, but I've come across diet water. Have you ever heard
of it? Oh, yes, you mentioned that. That is unbelievable.
Yeah, of course it's got aspartame in it. I guess that's what makes it diet
right,
water.
Diet.
You know, get your aspartame here.
Yes, that is remarkable. Well, it's music to my ears when I hear Zias talk about something that I have repeated at my website since the time I initiated my website, is that I'm firmly against the notion of using pharmaceuticals to address health issues. It's okay if your idea of pharmaceutical is if the, let's say, the heaviest thing you're doing is aspirin or is, let's say, a sinus relief if you need immediate relief and don't know how to achieve it naturally. You can achieve these things naturally, but I realize sometimes if you're taking prescription medicines to try to address all the well-known problems that particularly older people have, you aren't helping your body. Ultimately, drugs need to be detoxified from the body, and you're constantly putting the body, the liver particularly, through an enormous amount of effort to detoxify a poisonous substance that you're putting into yourself on a daily basis, paying a great deal of money for because your doctor prescribed it.
We lost your volume a little bit, Ken.
I'm sorry. Because your allopathic doctor has prescribed it for you. Mm-hmm. I just wish more people would take the time to read the books that are available to learn how these conditions precipitate. What is causing the condition? Once you realize what's causing it, you can take simple, low-cost, nature-based modalities, therapies, substances, in order to address it. You don't have to take pharmaceuticals for any problem. And it seems that the more life-threatening, the more dramatic the problem is, such as cancer, AIDS, those really life-threatening diseases, the worse the poison is, to address it. Chemotherapy is the last thing I would do if I had cancer. I'd prefer to just let the cancer take its toll. If I didn't know, you know, if I didn't know how to fight it through natural means, rather than go through the stress and the destruction that follows in the wake of chemotherapy or radiation, which is a huge mistake. Radiation triggers cancer. It's pretty dumb to get radiated in order to try to fix cancer. Yet that's what the orthodoxy does. Treatment in the United States is three things: chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery, and those three things only. And woe be to you if you're a physician and you try to offer something else like ozone, things that actually work and can cure the patient, because you're going to get in trouble real quick. So I wish the public could wake up to the lie of the pharma game.
It's a huge, huge profit game, too. It's at least $1.5 trillion a year, that industry alone.
Easy. And the reason it goes on is because people are ignorant of the reality of the damage that is done by pharmaceuticals. And they don't know that you can resolve all of these conditions with nature-based, low-cost substances and therapeutic modalities. I wish more people would know this. It just kills me. And this year, 2011, that while a large percentage of the public, let's say, believes in the merits of alternative medicine, because when they do polls, I read at least a couple of years ago something on rents that something like 78% of the American public, quote, believes in alternative medicine. But I'll tell you this, 78% of the American public is not aware of the fact that pharmaceuticals are harmful to you. It is the worst modality to address disease conditions, and that everything that you're, quote, suffering from and trying to address with pharmaceuticals can be done with nature-based substances. 78% of people don't know that, because if they did, the pharmaceuticals people wouldn't be worrying about having the insurance coverage or the Medicaid coverage or whatever coverage they're looking for to buy the drugs, which we need. You know, you don't need the drugs. I just wish more people realize this. It's a huge con job, the whole pharmaceutical drug game. The allopathic physicians that most people go to see when they go to see a doctor are trained in medical schools, which are subsidized, underwritten. The curriculum, the medical journals, the JAMA, for instance, all these journals are written by pharmaceutical interests. So the, quote, the research is always geared to make the pharmaceutical, quote, solution look like the best and, you know, the only way to go.
Yeah.
The whole game is rigged.
It's like the physician's desk reference. All it is a encyclopedia for drugs. This is what you prescribe for this.
Of course.
You know.
Of course. So until the day comes, the century comes, in which we have physicians who know how to treat the body based on nature-based therapies, I'm sure in the coming in the next 100 years, substance-based medicine will no longer be needed. We're moving into a realm of understanding energy-based medicine will be the medicine of the future. Apply the right frequency, and disease is going to be absolved very quickly. Conditions are going to be. We're moving towards. In the meantime, until we arrive at that happy state, you need to get your vibes, as it were, because everything in the universe is based on vibration and energy. What the herbal substances offer are certain vibrations which meet the needs of the body to correct the symptom you're trying to address. With homeopathy is that a frequency signature is installed into water, into a water alcohol mix, or into, let's say, a small sugar pill. That, you know, sugar sort of has a crystalline structure. Water itself, they call a liquid crystal, can hold the vibration of a substance that's, installed into it. That's all that homeopathy is. This is one reason the pharmaceutical industry can't really shut down homeopathic substances, which you can get at most health food store. People should, if you've buy a book on homeopathy. There are many of them. There are literally hundreds of them. And learn what various homeopathic substances do. And then go to a health food store and get yourself a nice variety of them. And the next time you can't fall asleep or you have a sinus headache or whatever the symptom is, open up. The book that I use is a wonderful book by Asa Hirschhoff. I've never met him. I've only been introduced to him by a friend of mine, Luke Gatto. And the name of the book is Homeopathic Remedies. Now, there are many of them. Ace is not the only person, but I use his info is straightforward. What I do is I simply look at what symptom I'm suffering from, and there is usually 6 to 8 homeopathic remedies. I have a complete kit of homeopathic substances. You can get them in kits of 100. They come in these little vials. Not really that expensive to get a 100 vial kit. And whatever I'm trying to address, I take 4 or 5 of these little tiny globules, and usually, depending on what it is, what's going on, whether it's an acute or mild thing, the symptoms will go away. And it hasn't cost me much money, and I haven't put a toxic substance in my body that my liver now has to break down, and I'm taking energy away from my body that could be used for other things, repair, age retardation, etc. I'm using it to detoxify a poison that I put in my mouth myself. People need to come to the realization that drug medicine is the stupidest way to go in addressing health conditions. Nature-based medicines and therapies are the way to go. And homeopathy and herbs are two easily available resources that you can turn to. But you need to know something about it, so you need to get a book on it and just study and read.
And that excludes petroleum, by the way.
Of course. All pharmaceuticals are based on what's called coal tars, and that's made from oil. petroleum oil. That's why Rockefeller, you know, got into the pharmacy game as soon as he started drilling those oil wells at the beginning of the, you know, of the 20th century, because that's where pharmaceuticals get the substance that they make the drugs from.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, we're out of time. I want to give you each no more than a minute to make a closing statement, if you would.
Well, I've said enough. I apologize to ZS for taking so much time. So I'll yield to ZS for the last 2 minutes.
Okay. Going way back to towards the beginning, you're talking about an uplifting frequency that is healthy. Work that is done by Tesla, and I've experienced uplifting frequencies in music, and that's something that both of you are well aware of. Is it possible for a song to be composed and put broadcast on the internet, YouTube, or which would create that uplifting frequency?
Oh yeah, I'm recording that kind of music all the time, and actually creating a library for therapeutic use. So yes, to answer your question, yes, it's possible.
Okay. That's my closing statement. Thank you. Thank you, Don.
All right. Well, gentlemen, it's been interesting. We talked about a lot of different things here. The underlying theme here, I think, is do some research. If you have questions, do some reading, like my guests have suggested. Pay attention. You know, you were given everything you need to figure it out. I need it now, I need it yesterday world that we live in, people have no patience. They have no drive. They have no intention to discover the truth about anything. They're willing to have someone else just tell them that they've got the answer and that they need not look any further. And that's proven itself to contribute tremendously to the downfall of humanity. That's why we're talking about the things we're talking about tonight. If everything was hunky-dory, we wouldn't have had to mention these things. And the underlying theme is that you know better than anyone else what your body can eat, what it can assimilate, what it can digest, and what gives you energy and what keeps you alive without becoming sick. If you need to talk to someone about it, at least look at the natural way to do it, because nature provides everything that you could ever require to be healthy and to be happy and to live a long life. And whether it's something that's put in your mind, whether it's something that's put in your body, or something that's put in the air that you breathe, or the things that are put on your food without your knowledge or into your food without your knowledge, you have an obligation to be responsible about that. It's like when you buy your clothes. Do you go to a place where everything they sell was stolen? Most people would say, no, I don't want to buy, unless you got a really good deal on it. And that's why they have certain chain stores that sell Chinese products and stop selling American products, because somebody's making money hand over fist to the detriment of the person that's actually creating the product in the beginning. It's a vicious circle, folks. And if you want to get off the merry-go-round or the Ferris wheel, however you want to call it, or the hamster exercise wheel, then you've got to pay attention to what is really going on in your life, not what someone else tells you is going on in your life. We're pointing these things out to get your awareness of it, but you have to make the final decision. Gentlemen, I don't know if you agree with what I just said, but I want to thank you for your contribution to the show tonight, and I look forward to your next visit on Evident Footprints, which will be the 28th, Thursday the 28th, next week.
Yep. And so thank you, Don. That was a wonderful coda you put at the end there. You are a perfect summary of the sort of ideas we wanted to express.
All right. And of talking about all this food and everything, I got hungry. So plus, I haven't eaten all day. So.
Okay.
So I thank you both, and I look forward to your next visit on Evident Footprints. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and our guests, Ken Adachi and Zora Nova Star Livingstone. You can read their work at Ken's website, educate-yourself.org. A special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at BBS Radio, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night as a special follow-up to some of the topics we discussed tonight. On Wellness Wednesday, my guest will be Dr. Wayne Pickering, and we will be talking about nutrition and the state of mind that you need to have to be successful and take charge in your life. So be sure to tune into tomorrow's show. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.